I don't know about you, but now that it's warming up, my schedule is packed, and having a great story to keep me company really takes the stress out of it. That's why I subscribe to Audible. As a member, you can choose one title to keep every month from their entire catalog, plus the latest bestsellers and new releases. I'm about halfway through The Wolf in the White Van by John Darnielle. It is a gorgeously written thriller with a time travel plot unlike any I've ever come across. I can't wait to hear how it ends, and you can check it out with me. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Just visit audible.com/WWHL or text WWHL to 500-500. That's audible.com/WWHL or text WWHL to 500-500.
If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Welcome to the Bravo Clubhouse for the podcast edition of Watch What Happens Live with me, Andy Cohen. Welcome to Watch What Happens Live at home from the Hamptons. I'm your host, Andy Cohen. Last night, we began an important conversation about systemic racism in our country. Tonight, we're going to continue the conversation with W. Kamau Bell and Portia Williams. Portia, on your Instagram, you posted an 8-minute video of an Atlanta protest, which quickly went from protesters peacefully dancing in the street to police using tear gas and flash bombs on the crowd. What do you say to potential protesters who are being scared off by these unprovoked attacks from authorities?
Keep going. They can't stop us. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to be out there on the front line firsthand, because I want to know what they feel before I even speak on it. And yeah, I got tear gas, and yeah, I had to have milk poured in my face to like relieve my eyes from that insane burning. But keep going, because what they're trying to do is silence you once again. Okay, we have the National Guard here, we have the APD, and the crowds can be peaceful, and they are trying to provoke the crowds and make them angered and make them act out so that then they can turn on the camera and say, oh, look what happened. The peaceful protest has turned awry. Don't do that. Be militant like our people, like people before us. Martin Luther King, my grandfather, Reverend Hosea Williams, listen, they were had dogs biting them. They had were tased. They were gassed. They were killed in the streets from the police batons. We have not received that just yet on that level, but it could possibly be going there. So if you're out there to protest, it's not for the picture. It's not just to be out there. You're out there to fight. Stay focused on your mission, and that is to be heard and to be seen. Absolutely. So I would just say, don't let them intimidate us, period. And don't let the media intimidate you either, because the media is trying to only focus on the rioters, what they call looting. And that is taking the complete focus away from what the protesters are doing. So don't listen to the media. Keep marching forward.
Okay, for both of you, you know, as a white man, I have not had to think about my race very often. And that fact in itself is an example of privilege. What do you say to white people with little experience discussing race who are eager to fight for racial justice and want to educate themselves and put in the work, but they're worried about stepping into a minefield and doing or saying the wrong thing?
I mean, I can start on that. Okay. As I said before, be confident of doing and saying the wrong thing. You're going to do and say the wrong thing. Yeah. Accept it. And when you do and say the wrong thing, do this thing that humans do called apologizing and working to make it better. you know, this is stuff they teach you on Sesame Street, Daniel Tiger, like all across children's television is learning how to say I'm sorry and how to make it better. So if you don't get it from me, go watch Daniel Tiger and learn saying I'm sorry is the first step, then how can I help? I feel like you're going to do the wrong thing. The history of Black folks fighting in the civil rights movement is trying things that didn't work and moving on to the next thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just the history of change in this country. Martin Luther King Jr. wasn't born going, we have to do a march on Washington when I turned 35 years old. That didn't happen. He did a lot of things to figure out how do I get this message across. So white people, be able to be corrected when you do the wrong thing. And if you get your feelings hurt, that's what feelings are for. So you know you did the wrong thing, but get over it the way you get over it in other situations. Mm-hmm.
That's what feelings are for.
Yeah.
Portia, what do you want to add to this?
Exactly. This whole conversation is intimidating. This whole conversation is uncomfortable, even for me, and I'm living in Black skin. So I understand, you know, white people feeling like they don't know what to say, but silence is the worst thing to do. And just
silence equals death.
Silence equals violence. So I would just say to white people, see yourself in the movement. Understand that if you don't make a move, then you will also be in trouble in the end. It's not just going to be Black people. As you can see, they're putting these curfews and Marshall's Law is starting to happen. Everybody got to go in their house. It ain't just Black folks.
Right, right.
Okay. So I would just say, see yourself in the movement and then take a look inside of who you are. No, you may not necessarily identify as racist, but how many Black friends do you have? Do you go online? And if you don't, I would just say, amplify Black voices, possibly post someone who has a Black podcast that you happen to like. Amplify Black lives, and what we're trying to do is an easy way to do it. And you can do it from home if you don't want to leave your house yet. Social media is very, very powerful. And I saw the other day a lot of people joined into the Black Box. That was one thing, but what's gonna last long term is you seeing yourself in the movement. When I used to sell furniture, I was the best salesperson because
you sold furniture?
Yeah, I sold furniture for Rooms to Go. I was the best salesperson because what I would do is I would make that family visualize themselves in that room. I'd be like, you see you over there, Billy, sitting on the couch, drinking a beer, and mom in the kitchen across, and the daughter over here on the chair with the ottoman. If someone can visualize themselves, they're emotionally connected. So we need to get that connection from white people in this movement. And I think that's what happened if I go back to people watching that video of George Floyd being murdered. They saw though that white man's eyes, hit that police officer's eyes, they were blank. And if you have ever looked in the face of an abuser, which I have had abuse in my past, and you see those black eyes, it is striking. And it actually stuns you. And then if you look down below his knee and you see the helplessness of George Floyd, it will affect you. And the amount of time that we all had to sit and endure his pain, he took his last breath, but America took their first breath. Believe that. And we have taken a breath to make a change. I truly, truly believe that. And that's why you see people all around the globe who have been touched by this one black man here in America being snuffed out by a policeman committing police brutality.
Wow. Kamau, what have you had to tell your kids? You have three kids. What have you had to tell your kids about growing up black and what they should expect? And how did you do that?
I mean, I think that we were always very clear with our oldest daughter, the first one, that we would like make sure that we were reading books and putting media in front of her that showed different types of people, and specifically people with skin like hers, and told stories about people with skin like hers. So I think one thing that white parents have to do is stop just reading the basic kids books to their little kids and make sure you're reading books about people who look different than your kids. It's a golden age of books, of kids books and kids media. It's very easy to sort of make sure you're reading books about Muslim kids and black kids and Asian kids. Get more than one type of media in front of your kid. The other thing we did when she turned four, because we had a racist incident happen, me and my wife had a racist incident happen, then we realized we'd over-indexed on the happy stuff about being diverse and not really talked about racism. So we actually then went out and bought books about like a kid's book about Harriet Tubman, for little kids, a little kid biography of Martin Luther King Jr. Yes, it is skip some of the explicit parts, but it is a way for your kids to hear the words Harriet Tubman and Martin Luther King Jr. before a teacher tells it to them, and you don't know how that teacher is going to do it. And I'm not, no shade on teachers, but they have a lot to do. They don't always have all the information they need about every culture and society.
What was the incident that happened that spurred this on?
On my birthday, which is why I remember it so well, I got thrown out of I got told to leave a cafe because they thought I was bothering my wife and her friends. Again, my wife is white. She happened to be with her friends. They were sitting at an outside table at this place called the Elmwood Cafe in Berkeley, California.
Oh my gosh.
And I walked and my wife called me and said, come by and say hello. And I'm really bottom line in the story. I went by, I was carrying a book by Selena Alco that I had just bought about the loving couple who made interracial marriage legal across all of the United States of America. I just bought it for my family, feeling all like a woke parent, feeling all good.
Right.
I was showing it to my wife's friends and a worker from the cafe knocked on the inside and was like, get out of here.
Oh my God.
And give me the literal bum's rush.
That is, wow. I'm so sorry that happened.
I mean, that's here's crazy. The thing, I didn't hear that, Portia, but it's like the thing that I knew at the time, I couldn't complain too much about it because it was around the time of Ferguson.
Mm-hmm.
So black folks' energy needed to be around Ferguson and Michael Brown. They didn't need to be around me being like, I can't go to that coffee shop anymore. But we did. We did make it into here in Berkeley, and we actually turned it into a town hall meeting. But this is what I'm talking about. The cafe owner said we were going to do things to change not only our coffee shop, but the whole neighborhood and talk about implicit bias. He put up a website and then did nothing.
Yeah.
And all the website said on it was coming soon. And for years, he did nothing until those two black guys got arrested at that Starbucks in Philadelphia. I wrote about my incident. And then he did the brave move.
He was like, oh, now I need to do it.
No, he did the brave move of closing the coffee shop and selling it to the manager of the coffee shop and disappearing into the ether. So that's why black folks, all the talk, we've heard the talk before.
Mm-hmm.
We heard you saw the Green Mile or Green Book. When you saw Green Book, and we're like, I get it now. I get it now.
Portia, I talked to Kamau about this a little bit, but how do you plan to talk to PJ about the world that she's coming into? You know, you grew up in a family of civil rights activists. What were you told, and what will you tell PJ?
Honestly, if you would have asked me this, if you would have asked me this a little while ago, I probably would have said, I don't know. But I'm telling you that there is something that has awoken in me to be active and to show my receipts, as Kamau would say, of what I'm actually doing. And I think the conversation that I'll have with her is just that. Look what mom has done. Look what mom went through. Look what I did for the movement. And this is why, because we were treated this way. These things where we have been oppressed this much time. And I say I will do it in that way because that's the way the other civil rights would want us to do. They would not have wanted their work to be in vain. And a lot of people come to me now and they say, your grandfather would be so proud of you. What do you think he would say? And I think he would say, use my life as an example, use my mission, use everything, use our failures, all of that in order to move forward and understand how you can elevate that to the next level. And that's just how you explain it. Because listen, by the time PJ gets to be my age, there will probably still be some racism, but she will know how to deal with it in a different way and hopefully invoke change in her world at the time. But she won't just be naive and not know. She'll know from my example. And that's what everybody can be. White people, you can be an example for your kids.
What do you think your grandfather would say about the world today?
I can't necessarily say he would be shocked, because even after his movement, even after he marched at an older age trying to still keep civil rights fighting alive, we still were receiving racism. Like this, has been happening. This, he would not be shocked. He would just want to make sure that we were being active and that we were doing our part.
By the way, what do you think your grandfather would think of you on The Real Housewives of Atlanta?
Oh, he would love it. He would literally, nobody knows this. I've never had the chance to say this. Nobody's ever asked, but he used to call me his peach. So it's just crazy that I'm like, you know, the, holding a peach on Housewives. But, you know, my grandfather in the movement, he was called the bull in the china cabinet. He was the lieutenant in front. He was the one who would rally everybody together and, you know, get everybody enraged and passionate about the cause. So me being how I am is exactly how he was. He was just as outspoken and passionate as me.
Well, I mean, this is a man who led the march from Selma. So all these years later, to look and see what you're doing and the, how amplified your voice is based on your platform, I've got to assume that he would be very proud of you.
He absolutely would. And speaking of Selma, you know, that march on Edmund Pettus Bridge, it was the very thing that shocked America into action around that time, because, you know, everybody had the television and everybody started to watch it in around meal time. And then they live streamed all of the, my grandfather and the whole movement live streamed them, seeing them getting beat, getting killed in the streets. Some of them, a couple of them, dogs, like the brutality that the police put on those innocent, nonviolent protesters shocked white America into change. And that is similar to the shock that everybody felt when they watched that video of George Floyd, like Kamal said, in the comfort of our home, not even thinking about it. We're all trying to stay home and protect our family. On TV, all the commercials, we are one. You're really forgetting about the racism. You're really forgetting about what we're really still living in, because we're all saying we're all fighting Corona together. We're fighting the pandemic together. And then bam, right in your face, you see the reality that Black people are living in yet again. And I think that that just added to the level of shock that it put people in, all the same way it did back then, and they ended up being able to vote after that. So I'm hoping that that shock can continue. I really do hope that the conversations don't stop. And I really don't hope that anybody has to die. But I will say this. People are watching the TV now and they're seeing police still be brutal to innocent protesters. So it's almost like what they're doing is working against them. You know, the president telling the mayor to not be weak and go hard on these protesters, et cetera, it's actually working against him, because it's creating more footage of showing police brutality, what we're fighting against. And might I say, it's on white people as well, because a lot of them are in the front line.
Well said.
The other moment I would like to point out, and I have three kids. Like I said, one is 9, the other is 5. 3 daughters. We only make girls. That I've talked to me and my wife have talked to our 9-year-old and 5-year-old about that video. They've seen enough of it to understand what's happening there, and we've had to explain to them why we think he's calling out for his dead mom. And our daughters are like, "But she's dead. Why would he call out?" And my 9-year-old said, "Maybe he sees her."
Oh.
Wow.
If my 9-year-old can process this and get this and understand what's wrong, and then go outside and on our sidewalk in front of our house write "Black Lives Matter" in blue chalk so our neighbors can all see it, a 9-year-old, now she's got pretty awesome parents. I'm not saying that's not a part of it. But if a 9-year-old can get it, and oh, by the way, Black 9-year-olds have to get it. They don't have a choice. But grown-up white folks of privilege can get it.
Portia, have you been in a text chain or in a chat with your fellow Atlanta Housewives through all this? And what's been the discussion?
Yeah, I'm in a text chain with Nene, Tanya, and Marlo. And we've been talking about this since the beginning. And recently, we ended up reaching out to some of the other girls, and we're trying to come together to make something happen. We have something that we're working on that we'll be putting out a little bit soon. But it, you know, we definitely have to talk amongst ourselves and realize that it's definitely something that affects all of us as Black women. And I mainly, and Nene and all of us, and Tanya and Marla, we definitely feel, and I'm sure Candy as well, all of them feel we have to put whatever we dealt with at that heated reunion aside, because it's not about that. It's about us using our platform, you know, and not feeling ashamed to use our platform. Because a lot of people would be like, oh, they're clout chasing or this or that. Those are just, again, things to try to shame people into not speaking out. But I think that we would be being unjust to our people not to band together and speak out and use our voices for what's going on.
I think that's great. But by the way, what was your reaction to the reunion, Portia? Oh, you were funny as hell, I got to tell you.
My reaction to the reunion, I was shocked like y'all. Listen, y'all had me at home, right? Listen, Kamal, at home, right? Had my own alcohol, which is my drink of choice, you know, Hennessy now. I'm in the house, lounging on a chase, talking to Andy and all these girls. Of course I'm going to act up. You know what I mean? Like, it was the perfect storm. So I thought it was great. I thought everybody showed up and showed out. It was good.
Did you come up with those, your titties or social distancing line? You just came up with that at that moment? Because if you did, I mean, come out. If you need a writer,
hey,
Portia is like, she's fast.
That's a good line.
I actually came up with that in that moment. As a matter of fact, it's funny because Dennis was like, you don't want to like, you know, come up with something to say. And I'm like, I don't do that. Like, if somebody said something to me, my brain is so quick because of being on Dish Nation and being with those, you know, radio people are very quick with it, you know, and Ricky as well, being on there with him, he's a comedian, you know, Ricky Smiley. So I think I got some of that from him. And when I saw those titties, I was like, yeah, those things are definitely not quarantined together.
Oh my God.
Now I gotta go pull up the clip. I'm pretty interested.
Yeah, you do, Kamal. You do. All right. I think that's a great place to leave it. I thank you both for this conversation. This has been absolutely enlightening to me and inspiring. And I love speaking to you both. Thank you so much for doing this. We'll see you next time.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Looking to instantly upgrade your Mother's Day gift from typical to meaningful? Shop Etsy. Get up to 30% off well-crafted and personalized gifts from participating shops until May 12th. This year, embrace your creative side. You know, the side your mom gave you. And shop Etsy for custom jewelry, style pieces, home decor, and extra special items she'll adore. Need something original and affordable for Mother's Day? Etsy has it. Shop until May 12th for up to 30% off gifts for mom. Terms apply.
We are continuing our conversation with Portia Williams and W. Kamau Bell from United Shades of America, which premieres later this month on CNN. Kamau, you posted a photo of a piece of sidewalk chalk art that your 9-year-old daughter did. Tell me about that.
You know, we were having conversations, and I mean, one of the first pieces of art we saved of her is she wrote the phrase Black Lives Matter when she didn't even know what the letters were. She was just copying it. So she's been always talking about Black Lives Matter with us. We've always talked about it. Mm-hmm. And we were in the car talking about white people not saying Black Lives Matter and what that meant. And we got home and she just ran and got the sidewalk chalk. And the thing that's so clear about it, she wrote, I'm black, my dad is black, my grandmother's black, my grandfather's black, I am black, Black Lives Matter. And it's her accepting her blackness, even though her mom is white, mm-hmm. her mom's side of the family is white, she's really clear about it. Yeah.
I love that.
It wasn't an assignment. A lot of people are going to think you made her do it. I didn't go, you need to create some art to show black. It was something that came out of her, which is the most powerful part about it.
I love that. Can I say why I love that?
Yeah.
I love that because, you know, a lot of times the innocence of children is the truth of, is really our truth as adults, honestly. You know, that's been the whole thing of why it's like, you know, sometimes me and my friends, we're out and we want to say something and it's like someone will say Black, you have to say it real low. And it's almost just for us to show that we're standing up for Black people is this we're against white people. And that's not the case. And his daughter gets that at such a young age that she's not offending her mom by owning her Blackness and accepting it. That's so beautiful that she can be Black and proud and understand that it doesn't take away from her love for any other race. That's amazing.
I guess I might know the answer to this, but anyone have a comment about how the administration has been responding to this whole
You got it.
All I say is this. Every activist, organizer, every Black person I know in Oakland and Berkeley knew this was coming. The only thing they didn't know about was COVID-19. But the minute he became president, everybody was like, get ready. Yeah. So anyone who is surprised by this, you shouldn't be like, oh, nobody saw this coming. It was that you weren't listening again to the Black people around you, or you weren't actually, or you thought, well, I'll be fine. I think that's also the selfish position of like, it's not going to be for me, but everybody I knew this was coming. It's just the order of events is different.
Right. Mm-hmm. You're a comedian. Is there anything that you've taken out of what's going on today that's made you laugh? I mean,
the kind of laughter that Black folks do and oppressed people do is always in the middle of horrible situations. So we find laughter quite quickly. And when I saw Trump hold up that Bible like he'd never held up
a Bible before,
that made me laugh as horrible as the situation was. I was like, there was something that was so funny about this man holding up a Bible.
So ridiculous.
When you look at the future, you both have young children. When you look at the future, what does the future look like for you, Portia?
Honestly, that makes thinking about the future for my daughter in this moment, it makes me emotional because, you know, this is not the world I want her to grow up in. You know, I don't ever want to imagine she would have to deal with being in the home with her boyfriend, her fiance, et cetera, and police coming in and lighting the home up and then them trying to possibly charge her boyfriend, you know, the same way as Breonna Taylor. I wouldn't want her to grow up and use her voice as an activist and try to empower her people about our rights and light us the same way as Sandra Bland and her be killed in the care of police. You know, it's just like I really, truly am fighting this fight for my daughter's future and for the people in my family, the young people in my family. This is not what we want to give them. This was given to us. This was given to us. This was put on us, not by our Black people, but by the oppressors. So if we can all come together now, possibly she can live and have a better life than what we're dealing with now.
Kamau, same question for you.
You know, I think it's a big question because I've had this for the first time in my life. I've had the thought of like, wait, we don't have to live in America.
Wow.
Like there's racism all over the world and no country is free of institutionalized oppression and structural oppression, but other countries do it differently. We don't have to stay here.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think that again, America, we're so egocentric that we get caught up in like America being the best. But like I said, I think this America experiment might be a wrap shortly, and we don't have to be here while it falls down around our ears.
Wow. That's a sad thought.
That is a sad thought.
And I love America. I wouldn't be doing this work if I didn't, you know. But when I think about my kids, I don't want my love or egocentricness thing about this country to affect their life in that way, the same way you're talking about your child, Portia.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. This is the first time I've ever really had that thought about, like, we could go.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to hope that Portia's more optimistic view takes hold.
I'm optimistic or I wouldn't be doing the work, Andy.
Right.
keeps me going. It's just also, I want to see the work get done. So, yeah. I I'm the comedian.
Mm-hmm.
I am optimistic. But it's also like, you know, part of this is I'm still black, so I got to be realistic.
Thanks for listening to the podcast, everybody. Hope you enjoyed the show. Remember, new episodes go live Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Make sure you're subscribed. Have a great rest of your night.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome to the small town of Chinook, where faith runs deep and secrets run deeper. In this new thriller, available exclusively on Wondery Plus, religion and crime collide when a gruesome murder rocks the isolated Montana community. Everyone is quick to point their fingers at a drug-addicted teenager, but local deputy Ruth Vogel isn't convinced. She suspects connections to a powerful religious group. Enter federal agent V.B. Loreau, who has been investigating a local church for possible criminal activity. The pair form an unlikely partnership to catch the killer, unearthing secrets that leave Ruth torn between her duty to the law, her religious convictions, and her very own family. But something more sinister than murder is afoot, and someone is watching Ruth. With an all-star cast led by Emmy nominee Sanaa Lathan and Star Wars Kelly Marie Tran, Chinook is available exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.